Rob, George.
Thanks, Brian. I'm George, I'm the addict.
Hey, George.
Hey, get Mark down in Florida bet that within a minute I'd be crying. Your introduction's already got me going.
Why are you still crying?
That's my son, Moose. I'm a stay-at-home dad, and I have been for the last 15 years. I'm his caretaker 24/7. He has autism. He's nonverbal. He has mental retardation. He has epilepsy. And he's a joy in my life and my whole family's life. Of course, as soon as I get introduced to him, he'd come running down there. But I've done a 5-mile bike ride with him today. I took him twice to the swings, and each time he did 24 times on the swing, each swing. There's 24 swings. He does each one, for a couple minutes. So I've been busy all day, trying to run him down, and it's not happening. But anyway, I'd like to start with God grant us knowledge that we may write according to your divine precepts, instill in us a sense of your purpose. Make us servants of your will and grant us a bond of selflessness. This is, may truly be your work, not ours, in order that no addict anywhere need die from the horrors of addiction. Right? We used to read that when we were writing the basic text, and that's mostly what I'm going to talk about is my involvement with the basic text. I had more involvement than, I was quite involved with it, and I'll share the process. I'm really glad of this format because I think this is reaching out to people, that probably have never heard anything about this, and it's, nice way to share the history of our basic text. I'd like to thank all the predecessors that spoke before me. Dutch started the first meeting that I attended, and every one of them were great. I listened to as much as I could. I had my headphones on while we were walking, and listened to everybody. Thank you for sharing. I got clean in February 27, 1977. I was 17 years old. I was looking to, my last time high was, I was hallucinating 24/7. My last time high was smoking pot to slow down the hallucination so I could sleep, and the hallucinations got worse. I used with my brother who died in 05 as a result of this disease, and between me and him, we were convinced that I needed a mental institution and I was ready to go get locked up for the rest of my life. I thought I was damaged goods. The ironic part is my parents had found this inpatient rehab that was literally the last high school that I went to bordered on the lake, on this lake. And on the other side of the lake was this rehab I had never heard anything about. So I don't know how I couldn't have known about it, but it looked like a mental institution when I got there. They had a guy in diapers, a guy with shaved head, a guy carrying a door, It was a 2-year program. They were switching to an inpatient program. They were switching to like a year and a half. In my case, they weren't sure how long it would be. And I kind of thought that meant that I'd never be. So they let me go to, I'd never get out. So they let me go to outpatient. And I had to sign outpatient that if I relapsed, I would go into inpatient. Everybody knew that I was going to use. Most people thought I was already getting high. I didn't even know I was clean at this point. Okay. Actually, somebody asked me when my clean date was, and I said, well, it didn't start yet. I'm still high. And they said, when's the last time you used? I go, like 10 days ago. And they go, well, let's figure out when, And I was like, what do you mean? I go, but I'm so high from the last time I used. They go, yeah, but your clean date starts when you stop using. And I'm like, really? This is, so my first few days were clean, although I wouldn't wish it on anybody. I went to outpatient. I made my first meeting there. Dutch started that meeting. I didn't know Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't know 12 steps, nothing. This guy picked me up and he was going to with group therapy. And he said they had a place that I could hang out while he was there. And I was dumped off in this meeting. Couple things that I remember in the meeting, they asked me to share. And I wasn't allowed to share in group because I was the crazy guy. And they would, you know, if I talked, I was going to get thrown out. And that when I listened to them, I identified, they used like I did. They were my kind of people. And I felt in that meeting, I felt like I identified and I felt like I found my tribe or my people, you know. I felt at home. They asked me if I wanted to share, and I started sharing. I was sharing about the narcs on the telephone poles and how my phone was tapped. And they said, George, we're out of time. Thanks for sharing. Keep coming back. And they all came up and gave me hugs and gave me their phone numbers. And I really felt welcome. And that stuck with me, and still that feeling, almost like people talked about their first high. That was my first meeting to me, was that way, you know? I went through the outpatient. They didn't tell us it wasn't a 12-step program. I know we hated our mom and our dad. We punched sofas. In a year and a half, I graduated, and I got a diploma that says that I'm a recovered addict. But as I was getting closer to my graduation date, what I started noticing is all the people that graduated the year before me wouldn't last a week or two, and they'd relapse, and nobody would ever see them again. And after 40 days, those hallucinations stopped. And actually, I had somebody told me that I was getting better, and that was the first time that I really had hope that maybe, you know, I wasn't destined to be in a mental institution for the rest of my life, you know. So there was one guy that had been clean a couple years longer than me, and his name was Rich, and he had gone through the same outpatient, and I asked him what he did that was different. And he said, I go to meetings. And my response was, don't people go to meetings, stay sick. And he says, well, you can see what happens to the people that get well. If I was you, I'd start going to meetings. And that was my first idea that even that Narcotics Anonymous could, you know, like be, would save my life, you know. So I started meeting with my girlfriend. I lived with her. Her therapist suggested we start an NA meeting. We did. And I know shortly after that, me and her split up, and I was kind of mostly at the meeting by myself. But the inpatient that I went to, the inpatient that I interviewed at, they would allow alumni to go. They had an inpatient meeting there on Thursday nights. So I was there one night, and somebody asked me if I could take them to an AA meeting. And I said, well, can you go to an NA meeting? And they said, yeah, as long as it's on the meeting list. So I went and got meeting list from my home group. Or it wasn't a home group then, it was just my meetings, what it was. It was on the meeting list, and I gave it to them, and I asked them if any of their friends could go with me. So every Tuesday, I showed up at that inpatient place, and I had a little Chevy Vega. And I put six other people in there, and I would be guaranteed to have a meeting of seven people in my, you know, at my meeting. And I was very lonely. I'd cry. I cried more than the newcomers did. And I had a couple of years. I was lonely. I hoped that they would come back, because I needed people in my life. And eventually they started to. That meeting was started in like 79. And it lasted till about 80, 81, okay? We did everything wrong. I mean, we had no idea what we were doing. And the other thing I wanted to mention is in my area, we were all under 21. The rehab was an under 18 or under rehab in our area, and those were the people that were coming to my meeting. So eventually a couple other meetings started, but we were like an under 21 fellowship with three meetings. There were five people this year, Al in September, Kenny in December, Paul. Paul was in another part of the county, but, you know, Paul's been part of the Bucks County Fellowship. Pete and Donna celebrates on the 23rd of this month. All five of them celebrated 40 years, and that was like their first meeting or one of their first meetings, you know. So even though we did a lot of things wrong, we did a lot of things right. You know, people stayed clean. Those are also the people that wound up saving my life. And they were some of the people that saved my life by eventually getting sponsors and working the STEP program, and I watched them grow, and the attractiveness of working a program made me want to get a sponsor and start working the steps, because at this point I was, you know, the guy with a lot of time, and I didn't need to do any of this stuff, you know. The third meeting that was in our area was a step meeting. We had we used the AA 12 and 12. We crossed out where it said alcohol. We put Narcotics Anonymous. You know, it said Alcoholics Anonymous. We put Narcotics Anonymous, and we thought we'd done a very thorough job. Somebody mentioned John Barleycorn earlier. I didn't. We couldn't figure out a substitute for that, but we transformed it in what we thought was an NA book. At one of our regional meetings that we were beginning to have before the East Coast Convention, so this would be probably March of 80, February of 80, 1980, somebody attended the World Service Conference, and we got word that we couldn't use the AA 12 and 12 in our step meeting. And so we brought our book to show them how well of a job we did fixing it up. And there was a guy there, Bob P. from Pittsburgh, who showed up at our meeting, and he explained to us that it's copyrighted. We can't change it. It's not a, you know, we can't use it. And so we said, well, what can we use? And he said, we can use anything that an NA member writes. So we were all young people. Like when we went our like a fellowship now that was starting, a young fellowship, we all did everything together. We went to area together. We went to region together. We all attended the same meetings together. So everybody started saying, well, we're going to write the NA steps. And we went home. And what we started doing, we started recording step meetings at Kenny and Phil's house. And Pete, I don't know if you can see this, Pete transcribed them. Okay. And then after that, then Pete typed it out. And eventually, after we got done doing all 12 steps, we submitted it to our region, and that was what our region was, you know, working on. But in the process of doing that, Bob had told us that if we were going to start writing the NA steps, we should call this guy Bo in Atlanta. He was the World Lit Chair. And so in one of our meetings, somebody said, you know, aren't we supposed to call that guy? And the phone call went something like this. Kenny said, it's my place, it's my phone, George, you got the most time, you talk. And we dialed the number, and I asked for Boo, and Bo said, this is Bo, and I said, well, this is George R. from Bucks County, and we're writing the NA steps. And he said, well, George R. from Bucks County, this is Bo, and we're right here at the in Marietta, Georgia, at the Rising Sun Clubhouse, and we're working on the NA Big Book right now. And he said, we got a group of 14 people writing the NA book. And I said, well, we got like 12 or 14 people here writing the NA steps. And he started saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I told my guys, I thought there's a preacher on the phone. But everybody started crying in disbelief that 800 miles away, there was another group of addicts, recovering addicts, doing the same thing that we were doing. And we didn't know about each other. So he asked me if we were going to go to the East Coast Convention, and I said, yeah, we were trying to help put that on. It wasn't held in my area, but it was part of our region or regional get-togethers at the time. But this convention kind of was a big change of recovery, in at least in my area from what we saw, because we really didn't know too much going on outside of like our real immediate area. But here's a picture. That's a picture of the first East Coast Convention, and I'll put it up one more time. I couldn't believe that there were that many people clean doing the same. Like, I had no idea that there were people from other states. That's when we started breaking out. We started meeting other people, and people would ask like who your sponsor was, and my answer to that was like, well, I got like 3 years clean. And they would look at me. I didn't understand that that wasn't the right answer, you know. But eventually some of the younger guys, like the names that I read there, those guys got sponsors. Not every one of them, but at different stages we did, and we started working the steps. But I met Bo at that convention, and then a couple weeks later, He asked me to meet him in Greenville, South Carolina, and he gave me this. This is the proposed handbook for the World Literature Committee, and we use that to set up our literature review committee. And he also gave me this, which somebody had held up earlier, the NA tree. I didn't know anything about our service structure, and so I started reading through this, and it sort of helped me understand what was going on. I met, so after that, we continued writing, and then there was newsletters that we got involved with. Elena had some newsletters, and we would write stories, and they would get published. But it wasn't until the 10th World Convention and then the Literature Committee or Literature Conference that was being held in Lincoln, Nebraska, Bo had told me that we should attend that. It was very important. And none of us had any money, and we couldn't figure out how to get out there. I wound up selling my washer and dryer, and I bought a train ticket. It took me like a day and a half to get out there. I sold my washer and dryer for $300, so I get a round-trip ticket. And Bo said, don't worry about a place to stay. Don't worry about food. We'll take care of you. And that was a big leap of faith for me at that time. And that's what I did. And they did. They took care of me. But I remember sitting at the World Convention, and we were in the lobby, and it was Bo, Bob Barrett, Jim Nichols, Greg Pierce. And they were talking about the process of how they were going to start writing the NA Big Book, is what it was called back then, our basic text. And I remember, like, they treated me like, George, what do you think? And it was like, looking at them, like, my God, I felt like I was at the knees of NA giants, like, figuring out how to write our book, and I was being treated like an equal. I speechless, like, I you know, why am I here? How come it's me? You know, I remember Bo telling me when he gave me the literature handbook, you know, that I need to like form the committee. And I said, you don't understand that my last, you know, like I quit school at 16. My grades were straight Fs. I go, I think like you got the wrong guy to be running this literature committee, you know, and he said, God works in mysterious ways. You see anybody else here? I said, nope. And he said, well, you're it, you know. But anyway, yeah, when we went to Lincoln, what they had is they showed us there was two footlockers of just all kinds of literature, letters, poems, anything that anybody had written and sent to Jimmy. Jimmy held on to it. If it went to the office, he held on to it. And what Greg had said at that beginning of the conference, our book is in here. Okay, we just need to extract it. And so what they first did is Greg had suggested that we do an outline first. And the outline was, they suggested that we use the little white book that everybody else had talked about as the outline. We use those chapters. And I'll show you, this is what the outline looked like a little bit. You'd see. Okay, so. So what we did after that is after we got an outline established, we then skimmed through the footlockers of literature. Everybody got like a big handful of literature, and we were to skim through it and figure out what applied to what chapter. And there were times where there wasn't any literature. So as you're skimming through it and you hit something really good, you know, you want to read the whole article, but that wasn't our job. The prayer that I read at the beginning, if we got lost in, you know, like stuff like that, we would stop, we would say that prayer. We kind of feel like the fog smoke roll into the room. You almost feel the presence of God. And like people that we work together, like we work together all our lives, you know, doing this. While we were doing that, Greg, Bo, Jim, Bob, they all met in a separate room after we started assorting the stuff and we were getting near the end. And what they did is they came up with how now we're going to get it into, we have it like in chapters, but how are we going to get it into the outline? And they came up with a cut and paste thing. And so what they basically did is they started with the first part of the outline and then tried to find things that would fit into that. at the end of the conference, we had the first six pages of our basic text, done, and they read it to us, and everybody had tears streaming down their face. We couldn't believe that, like, it was actually starting to happen. And everybody got sent home with one paper. I couldn't wait to go home, and like I was on fire. I wanted to tell everybody, like, this is happening, you know, like, so the next conference was, that was in September of 80. The next conference was scheduled for March of, or February of 81, beginning of February. And Bo called me up like a week or two after the conference and said, you know, I was thinking about it. We have all these literature committees that are formed. Why don't we use them to help facilitate, you know, our book getting done? And so he said, what we could do is each literature committee could work on a chapter doing cut and paste. So Bucks County got the eighth chapter of the basic text, and we use that, the outline that I showed you. But, and again, what we would do is we would read the first part of the outline and ask if anybody had a sentence or paragraph. And somebody would read something, somebody else go, I got the next thing, and they would read that, and we'd be cutting and pasting. And this is what the cut and paste looked like. Okay, as you can see, it's got different writings. Okay. Okay, so after that was all done, yeah, everybody see that? I'll run through one more time, so in case you didn't get a chance to see it. Okay, so this is how the basic text was done. This was put together from all different types of writings, okay? And then, so then from there, it was, you know, we did chapter eight. I was asked to start another, although we were part of Philadelphia area, our area was so huge. The guys in the Northeast Philly asked me if I could chair a literature committee in there because they wanted to be part of our book. And so I agreed to it. And when I came down, we were going to work on chapter eight. They said, well, doesn't Philly get their own chapter? So I called Bo up, and Bo did send. He sent chapter 10. So Philly did the cut and paste on chapter 10. Bucks did the cut and paste on chapter eight. And I brought them both to the conference in Memphis in February of 81. And now at that conference, what we started doing, editing. We would review, edit, type, you know, and it would keep going like that. And I remember Bo had asked me to do the cut and paste, and I was looking forward to doing the editing. And Bo, you know, I said to Bo, I feel like I'm being demoted here. Like I've been looking forward to doing the, you know, the editing. And he said, we're not sure how we're going to do this process, but we're trying to figure it out. But I know that you've done two committees with cut and paste. You have the most experience of anybody here doing cut and paste. I know that if I put you in charge of that, like, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I do have the most experience. You know, I was very proud to be, you know, like, I didn't realize it, but at the time that was true. You know, there wasn't a lot of people doing what I was doing, and I was like, okay, so that's where I need to be. So I was okay with that. Also had another problem at the conference. After we got done some of the reviewing and was getting near to being done, this is at Memphis, there was some people that came out of detox, and they were reading what was close to our finished product. And I said to Bo, I said, why are they reading it? They don't even know what the hell they're reading. And I said, and they're giving input on it. And he looked at me and he said, George, we're trial running it. He says, who do you think we're writing it for? Because if they can't understand what we wrote, haven't we missed our mark? And I was like, oh, great idea, Bo. You know, like, so, but that was what we trialed it. And that, what they said is they could feel the spirit in the literature that we were writing. I'm going to hold up another picture. All right. This one. If you look on the blackboard it's over here. Yeah, right here where my finger is. Okay. What that is, that's the chapters. We had the blackboard. We had each chapter listed like that. And then it showed like what phase they were in. So you could look on the chalkboard and you could see the progress we're making in each chapter, whether it was in review, whether it was being edited, whether it was being looked at by the newer people reviewed, whether it was being typed. And so you could kind of get a sense of where the work was being done at any one time and get a whole picture of it. That's what that was. I'll give you a couple more pictures of the conference. And this is in Memphis. This is one of the group consciences. This is me addressing the conference. I don't know. I couldn't tell you what that was about, but it's me with like lack of sleep after, we didn't sleep much during these. But anyway, so enough with the pictures. And one of the things that we also did, and I want to just show you this, is in our own literature review committees, we saved everything that we didn't use because at some point we might need it for our newsletters. Here's a clean sheet. So I lived in a house with Pete now. And Pete he started a couple different newsletters. Al wound up becoming the RSR for our area for, 7 or 8 years. We had the 7th World Literature Conference at our house, and that was about the stories. Let me go back to Memphis. So after Memphis, we got all that, we got it situated. It was getting near done. And eventually what came out was at the end of the conference, they printed this, the gray book. I'm not promoting the gray book or anything other than this is part of our history. What I could do is I could call somebody and say, hey, page 41, line such and such, look at that. That doesn't make any sense. We need to work on that. And that was the purpose of the grade book, was so that we could do work outside of the conference before the next conference, make it so that we had less work to do when we got at the conference. I attended the Santa Monica conference. I chaired a meeting there late one night, like 11 o'clock or something. And we got into a big discussion on the word chronic, whether it should be in our basic text or not. And I think we spent a couple hours discussing it. Words started mattering. When the great book came out, you could see the basic text was coming. And, I want to share this one story, too. The basic texts were sent up to Philadelphia through Greyhound, the terminal, through the Greyhound bus, and I had to go down into 30th Street Station to the Greyhound terminal, I think is where it was. And there was a couple boxes, and I remember opening up one of the boxes, and I looked, and it said Narcotics Anonymous, and I was like, oh, my God, it's big as a phone book, thank you, God. I didn't get involved with the service work because, I thought it was the right thing to do. When I told you that I picked people up at the rehab, I picked them up because I was lonely. Okay. I needed people in recovery. I needed, the fellowship to be built in my area. And one of the things that I needed, I was so desperate that I would watch some people talk with newcomers and they seemed to have it. I didn't feel like I had it. I would talk to them and they would fall asleep, but I knew if I had a book, I could show them this book and I could hand it to them. It probably says Philadelphia, but that was at our house that we lived in where we, did the clean sheets and we did a lot of things in NA, at that time were like we all three of us did a lot of different things. So there were many other people involved too, but that was like the house where everybody went to. But I was asked to write my story there. And I remember initially I was going to write it. Everyone talked about back then, I want to write my story. Like everybody that I hung out, I'm going to write my story and submit it. I hope it gets, picked. And I was like, yeah, me too. I remember talking to Greg Pierce, and Greg said to me that he felt that he lost his anonymity in AA because his story was in the little white book. And he said that he would go to a meeting in Venice and people would point him out as his story being in the little white book. And he said, and I feel like how I act is I represent NA to a lot of people. And he said, so you better watch what you wish for. Well, like, I was like 20 years old when I was having this conversation with him. I'm like, I don't want to represent NA and how I act. Like, I really thought that it would, okay, I just won't write it then, but when we had the conference, Bo had said that they didn't have any teenagers that had gotten clean in recovery. And that if somebody knew, he said somebody's, 18 years old getting clean and they're looking in our basic texts, how will they identify if there's not a story there? So I wrote out my story and was accepted. It didn't wind up, it got approved. This is a storybook. And it has like different stories. But basically people were to read the stories and pick which ones they wanted in our basic text. And mine got picked. But it didn't get in the first edition or the second edition because when I wrote the story, I didn't name it. And when I signed the release form, it was my first and last name and my signature. But when they named the story, they didn't know whose story that was. So, they were afraid to print it because somebody might have a claim against it. And I was really angry at NA for that. I actually called Bo up and cursed him out. He had nothing to do with it. I made amends to him since then. Long time ago, but anyway, and it did come in the third edition, when they started doing the sixth edition, I hadn't been involved in NA for a while. I don't have any explanation other than that I wasn't doing all the things that we talk about doing, and I drifted away, and I got involved with family and stuff like that, they asked me if it was okay to I got a call if I wanted to update my story when they were doing the sixth edition, and I'm like, I know what you want, but I'm not going to meetings, I don't have a sponsor, I'm not working the steps, I can't do that, and they wound up taking it out, but later on I had some people come over to my house looking to do some history research, and they were looking through my archives, all the stuff that I was showing you, Danny and Boyd. And in that process, I started going back to meetings. And one of the things with my current sponsor, I remember telling him I heard somebody bought an old basic text or something online, and I got involved with it. And I said, I don't know why I'm so keyed up about this. And then we started talking, and I had never dealt with my resentment. I had a resentment towards the basic text because my story wasn't in there. So I said, I'll read it from cover to cover. And in the process, I discovered that an excerpt from my story is in the beginning of the story section. And I remember just having tears because I had been lost for a while. And as I started working the program again, that just gave me like a shot that I was right where I was supposed to be, and today I'm very involved with, I'm not super involved with service. I do have service commitments, but not like when I was younger. It's not my place in life today. Yeah, but I have a sponsor, I sponsor people, I work the steps, and my children will tell you, and so will my wife, they've seen a lot of change over the last, 9-10 years. So, but anyway, it was awesome to be here. Guys, thanks for this. Zoom is going to change Narcotics Anonymous. I really like this whole process has really brought I think us closer to a worldwide fellowship than probably anybody could imagine. And, you know, I'm grateful to be a part of it. Thank you.
Thanks, George. Great job, brother. Love you, man. Appreciate your time and hanging in all day with us. So that takes us to the